The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on Still Just Fishing Show. And we got a few things to talk about in here, and a reminder about Sheep's Head, since Sheep's Head is looks like they're starting to bite a little bit. They haven't really fired off yet, of course, because the water temperature is still warm, but people are catching a couple here and there. And so I want to kind of talk about those a little bit today, too. And as people know, a lot of you know, Sheep's Head is one of my favorites, so that's why I kind of want to talk to them, and the new regulations and all, that's one of the things I want to remind people about. Let's get to the weather, though, here for the marine forecast to start with. Looks like we got today east winds 5 to 10 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet at 13 seconds, inland water smooth, and a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Imagine that. Sunday, south-southwest winds around 5 knots, becoming east-southeast in the afternoon, seas 2 to 4 feet. And the water smooth, and so it's finally turning around a little bit tomorrow, which is great because we've had an east wind pattern going for a week now. Monday, west southwest winds around 5 knots, and the water smooth. And Tuesday, east southeast winds around 5 knots. But then Wednesday, we got a little nor'easter coming, which is not real strong, but they're only calling for 5 to 10 knots. But then again, we got to see what that hurricane's going to do. Coming in, what's the name of that? Florence, I think it is. Yeah, Hurricane Florence coming in. You know, it's kind of changing back and forth about where it's headed to. So we got to keep an eye on that. And of course, that's going to change a lot of our offshore conditions when that gets a little closer. But looking at this, having that east wind turn around a little bit tomorrow, I'm kind of, you know, looking forward to that for people out there. I actually got to go out with some friends of mine yesterday and fish a little bit, which was great. I got actually to feel what a charter feels like. I didn't even get to tie my sinkers on or hooks on or nothing. That's he just did it all for me and was, you know, letting me catch fish. So that felt pretty good. Excuse me. But anyway, we got out there and cast netted some mullet and used those for bait and hooked up some big reds, but we were using real light tackle, so they broke us off. But caught some pretty nice speckled trout, pretty nice yellowmouth trout. I think it was 3 flounder and a bunch of jacks and ladyfish, so some major size ladyfish. So that was a lot of fun and just fun fishing and just getting out and seeing how I could handle it a little bit and see how the different you know, conditions was. And of course the wind blew a little bit, but it has been just about all week from what people have been telling me. So like I said, looking forward to that south southwest winds tomorrow for people, and you know, hopefully that east wind's calming down today so you can get out there and get busy on them. Thinking of, you know, what's biting right now. I mean, the speckled trout usually has this time of the year is usually pretty good. I still understand they've been kind of slow here and there. You can find some nice ones. And, you know, sometimes you get in a school of a whole bunch of little ones. I've heard of people doing that this week, too. And unfortunately, I haven't been out there much because, you know, of course, I'm trying to take it easy until I get back to work. So about the end of this next week, I'm probably going to, you know, get back to work and see what happens and see if I can get out there and get on some fish. I've been missing it. Let me tell you, cabin fever is a real thing. So, but been doing some yard work, things like that. So I seem to be handling it okay. And can't wait to get out there and get back on the water on a more regular basis. So, but anyway, I want to appreciate everybody's prayers and, you know, their also the people who have actually donated, like to the GoFundMe page and all, to help me out through the time I wasn't working. Thanks to Dave and Michelle Gill of starting that, and you know, helping me out through that. And you know, because not only did the regular bills come in, but I get some hospital bills coming in too. A lot of doctor bills, a lot of hospital bills. So anyway, I appreciate everybody doing that and helping support me through that. It's been just so wonderful how this Northeast Florida fishing community just steps up and you know, takes care of people who need it. And there's just no other sport like it. I mean, there's no, you know, in golfing or tennis or any other kind of recreational sport, even hunting, you know, people don't seem to come out of the woodwork and try to help others like they do on these, you know, fishing trips. I mean, these fishing families and stuff. And, you know, just like the Flounder Pounder tournament coming up, and which is October 20th this year. So it'll be coming up pretty soon. And I think Chip Davis is going to come in next week and talk some about it. So, yeah, so he'll be in next week. And, you know, going to be talking about the Flounder Pounder and his new trophies he's got up. I don't know if people have seen him online or whatever, but you can always go to Chip Davis' Facebook page and you can see some of the pictures of the trophies that he's getting made up for. So, but anyway, that's always a good tournament, good, well-run tournament also by Chip. And Teresa Davis also, I mean, they just do a wonderful job in running that tournament. And, you know, they've collected quite a bit of money. And, of course, we'll find out how much next week. I'm sure Chip's going to let us know all about that. But anyway, they've collected over the, I think, past 8 years, or I think this is the eighth annual. So over the past 7 years, no, actually, I think this is the ninth. Yeah, I've got written down the ninth here. So over the past 8 years, they've collected quite a few thousands of dollars, you know, for the Jacksonville School of Autism. So that's going to be a wonderful tournament. I know everybody's getting ready for it, and I sure hope the Flounder Bite picks up a lot better for that too, than what we've seen. I mean, we've been catching some small ones, but I have seen some people catching quite nice ones. Actually, you saw Brian Dutcher's photos last night. They were pretty nice, or this morning I think I saw them. They were pretty nice sized flounder too. So anyway, hopefully that Flounder Bite's gonna pick up for everybody. Looking at the tides here today, you have a high tide at 8:02 at Mayport, and it's a 5.3, so it's a little above normal. And you have a low tide at 1:46 p.m. It's supposed to be a minus 0.4, but we still have this east wind, so it's probably not going to be, you know, quite that low. Tomorrow you have a high tide at 8:57 a.m. It's a 5.5, so it's a little higher. And then you'll have a low tide around 12:41 p.m., also at Mayport, and which is a minus 0.5. So looking at some of these tides, these flood tides are going to start up pretty high around, looks like Monday and Tuesday, 5.6, 5.7, Wednesday, 5.6, and Thursday, 5.6. So I know even at today at a 5.3, with that east wind that's been happening, the tides have been a little bit higher than normal. So get out there and do some flooded redfish fishing. Don't forget sheep's head to also tail in there. If you see a black tail, probably not going to be too much use in throwing a mud minotaur. But get up there in that flooded grass like that. And if you see a black tail, of course, it's a sheep's head. And we've caught some pretty nice sheep's head up in the flooded grass. I can't wait to get back out there. Of course, we have the best flood tides of the year coming up. Usually in September, October, November, sometimes into December, we have some really good flood tides going on. So you get your tackle ready for that and get out there and, you know, try to get them tailing up there in the flooded grass. 222-8255 is the number to call. 222-TALK. Give me a call and let me know if you're going out there today. And we'll be back after this.
Safe Harbor Seafood. Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried. Or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood. Located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Hey, boaters. Are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423, and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and you know, her dad's for Trolling Motor Service and also for Captain Mike Darvo. You know, you want to make sure. I always talk about how September's the turning month. By the end of this month, there's going to be, you know, quite a few changes going on, different fish species biting, some more of them actually starting to fire up a little bit better. So you want to make sure your boat's in service and ready to go, and you call Captain Mike Darvo. Make sure that, you know, you get your service done on it and it's ready to go. If you got a trolling motor that you need to have looked at, or any of your wiring like that for your trolling motor, or your keep alive systems, which I have in my live wells, those keep alive pumps are the greatest things. They keep bait alive so good. And I've had those things probably, let's see, I had them in my Carolina skiff. I've had those things right at 20 years. And, you know, not the same pumps, of course, but I've had those things for like 20 years. And I tell you what, those are the best pumps to keep bait alive. So you go over and see Matt at Trolling Motor Service, or you can just give him a call at 573-0480. That's 573-0480. And go see Matt out there and check out that Keep Alive service, the Keep Alive pumps. Anyway. Captain Mike Darvo's number also, in case you didn't get it wrote down during the ad, is 614-3423. That's 614-3423. And, Captain does it. He'll come straight to your house and, you know, do the service on your motor and all that. You don't have to take it somewhere and have it dropped off or anything like that. For, you know, sometimes you drop it off at some of these service places, it takes a while to get it back. But, anyway, I also want to remind everybody, the House has passed H.R. 200, which includes the Modern Fish Act provisions. And so this is a big step towards advancing recreational fishing policy. So hopefully the letters and phone calls that fishermen have made the difference and made the House go ahead and pass it. Now, the U.S. Senate's going to be looking at it, so we want to make sure the U.S. Senate will take it up and pass the Modern Fish Act. That's S-1520, so call your senators and tell them. It's imperative you contact them and strongly urge them to support the Modern Fish Act so we can go ahead and get some, better information. It allows for recreational fisheries to be managed using more appropriate management tools. It modifies the annual catch limit requirements so to allow more adaptive approaches in fishing. Requires managers in the Southeast U.S. to perform long overdue examinations of fishery allocation based on modern criteria instead of the old stuff they've been using over the last 20 years. It limits the spread of catch share programs that have really negatively impacted anglers and fishing communities like in Alaska and California and places like that. People don't realize how bad the catch share programs are until, of course, they get put in place. And this Modern Fish Act promotes consideration of new data collection methods that could improve fisheries management and, hopefully allow anglers to really have a better realistic view of what's going on. So just want to make sure that we can, do whatever we can to get that passed through the Senate now. So going through my paperwork here. Also had an emergency release come out from the Coast Guard because people are putting a lot of LED lighting on their boats. And they have found out that now the LED lighting is interfering with VHF FM radio receptions. So we got him back on? Okay. Let's get Captain Chip Wingo on, and then we'll, because he's probably getting ready for a charter. Morning, Captain.
Morning, Uncle Vic. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How about you?
Good, good. I'm looking forward to fishing with Craig Van Brocklin now.
Oh, are you? Are you fishing with him today?
No, but he won my charter.
Oh, okay, good. Good.
Yeah. So, that's one way I get him to fish with me.
There you go. You fixing to hit the water this morning, or are you already on the water?
I'm about to hit 95 and go to Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Got some work to do up there and stuff like that today, even though today's opening of bow season up there. I think I'm going to pass on the 90-something degree heat.
Yeah. So. Just do the work up there?
Yeah, I just hang some stands instead and do a couple other things and end up going through a lot of Gatorade. So it's going to be a hot one.
Yeah,
Light's been good. Light's been real good, Vic. All kinds of wild stuff. We had last week we ended up losing, I don't know if I told you, I think it was after the show, but I lost about $60 worth of plugs in about 40 minutes on the mattresses, is what we call the new little jetty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the mullet were just getting absolutely crushed. There were tarpon in there blowing them up. We had we ended up having a huge bluefish that was, one of the biggest ones I've ever seen eat a plug. Lost another one to a big trout somehow. I don't know how that happened. Had a bull red eat in 9 foot of water and spoolus and on a topwater plug.
Oh, man.
And then we went over and bull red fished with the real tackle and had no problems with them. It's the flounder starting to show up in a lot of the regular spots. They're not showing up as thick as they would have expected. But with that being said, there's a lot of legal reds on the jetties, and I haven't really targeted the flounder out there. So, it's... We've already got bull reds that are in a spawning mode. The males are. So, looks like everything's about to fire off pretty heavy.
Yeah, I think it is. I've always liked the month of September, except for we have generally more tropical storms during that month. But I think that's what also helps change everything up, too, at times.
Yeah. Well, we get a couple nor'easters, like we have that little teeny one, and then we ended up getting a really, really good tarpon bite out of it. So it's as soon as those little changes in weather happen, the mullet start going crazy, and it works out pretty well for us. So, but
Yeah, we were hooking up some big reds yesterday, but they kept breaking us off on something on the bottom there. Because I mean, you know, using the light tackle for trout and stuff, it was just, you know, caught some pretty nice trout too in there. But I tell you what, it was nice to get out there, and I don't know if you heard me earlier, it was pretty nice to be able to just sit there and fish, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm glad you're out there, Vic. So I'm definitely glad you're out there playing with them.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was fun. It was fun. But, yeah, we caught a lot of jacks, too, and a lot of real healthy ladyfish. I mean, yeah, they were thick, man. You could tell they've been eating. They've been chewing a lot.
There's some monsters out there right now.
So yeah.
Some of the biggest ladyfish you'll see, you know. But, yeah, that's you know, it seems to be the way it goes. You know, you get all the predators in one spot, and it'll make for a happy day of blowing up something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But,
I had a little, Leon and I have both been doing this. I found a way to get these redfish to eat the mullet a lot quicker. We're taking that cork that Rob Coxey makes.
Yeah.
You know, that weighted popping cork.
Uh-huh.
And we're either using a no-brainer or a kale hook. And we're taking and cutting the tail off of the mullet. And
oh, yeah.
When you put it out, you're getting a good scent trail. And you're also slowing the mullet down, so it's easier for the redfish to eat them. So it makes it a lot faster. You know,
yeah.
Seems like a lot quicker bite.
Now, are you doing that in shallower water when you cut the tail off?
Yeah, we're doing it up against the grass,
yeah.
The oyster bars. Seems to work pretty good. You know, it's anything with that scent trail.
Oh, yeah.
We fish with bull reds. You know, and everything else. You know, the other day when I was bull red fishing, it started out kind of slow until a couple other boats showed up, and then it fired off. It seemed like when more boats were putting out more scent.
Yeah. And that's probably what it is. I mean, you know, that helps a lot, getting in an area like that and get all that scent going at the same time. I mean, you know, that's got to bring more fish in. I mean, you know, we've always known those redfish, they follow that scent.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And if you don't put that scent trail out there or don't stick around long enough, then, you know, you're not going to get anything out of it, really.
Right.
So,
yes. Sometimes it takes a little longer than you think, but you know, it does work.
That is very true, Ali. I'm sorry. I'm trying to navigate.
No, that's okay.
Some traffic.
That's all right, man.
Trying to navigate through a little traffic, and it's kind of strange. So
on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, they've got some rerouted roads. I'm cutting through downtown.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they've got some stuff rerouted, and it's just making for a fun morning. But, I'm looking forward to the topwater bite. It's been pretty good, too, at high water. And the flood tides, you know, I heard you talking about the flood tides real quick. They started off kind of slow. It was a decent bite. And then midweek, the tide came in so fast that, you know, it didn't last as long. The fish were mainly what we call sharking or finning, you know, where they're just swimming up in it. So.
Oh, yeah.
But look forward to seeing you out there, Vic. I hear that music cranking up.
Yeah, so. Hopefully I'll get out there, you know, it's... They told me wait another week, so, you know, before I actually go back to work. But, you know, I was able to get out there and fish a little bit yesterday, and it's pretty nice, you know, and to be able to get out there and do that, especially when you've been out of work this long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, Monday would be 5 weeks, man. When you don't have no money coming in for 5 weeks, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. That can make for a little interesting beat.
It sure does. All right, man. Well, I sure appreciate it. Be careful on your trip up there, Chip. And if anybody would like to call Chip Wingo, Captain Chip Wingo, 614-4989. 614-4989. Talk to you later, sir.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Despite U.S. warnings and fears of a humanitarian disaster, the Trump administration appears to have little leverage to stop Russia, Iran, and Syria now from pressing ahead with a massive military assault against Syria's northwest Idlib province. Washington is threatening military action in the event of a chemical weapons attack there. It is a mixed message at this point on retaining a U.S. presence in Syria, and a cut in aid has only diminished its already limited influence over the complex seven-year battle where Russia now wields greater influence in its support of the country's leader, Bashar Assad. An official at Iraq's Basra airport says unknown assailants have fired three Katyusha rockets at the airport, adding that no casualties were reported. The official says it was not clear who was behind the Saturday morning attack. It followed a chaotic night that saw hundreds of angry protesters. This is SRN News.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered, and now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This week, the Jacksonville Jaguars will begin their season receiving the New York Giants with the broadcast starting at 12:45. PM.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice.
Island Doctors cares about their patients.
They got my blood pressure off the ceiling, my thyroid off the floor.
Call us today to schedule a tour of one of our locations near you. And take a peek at our best wellness program. And welcome home.
1-877-434-4676.
WBOB tackles the issues.
The anti-war movement in Vietnam, the civil rights movement, in the 60s and early 70s, both of those were much more civil in tone. Even the anti-war movement was more civil in tone, but certainly the civil rights movement among the people who were protesting.
Every day.
Oh, Supreme Court, big ruling in favor of the faith-based pregnancy centers in California. Woo!
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Good driving around town, except for all the construction which is currently going on. If you heard Kevin Ringo earlier, downtown's kind of getting slow. As for the weather, rain may slow you down a bit. 30% chance of showers all day. Mostly cloudy next few days. Highs are around 91. Overnight lows around 75 degrees. Currently 77 right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning, and we started to talk a little bit before we got Captain Chip on the phone there about LED lighting, and just want to remind people how to check your LED lighting and stuff. So anyway, what you can do is You want to try to, you know, you turn off your LED lights, tune the VHF radio onto a quiet channel, adjust the radio's squelch control until the radio outputs audio noise, readjust the VHF radio squelch control until the audio noise is quiet, just barely until it's quiet, only slightly above the noise threshold. Then you turn on your LED lights. If the radio now outputs audio noise, then the LED lights have raised the noise floor. So you want to take and, you know, if you ever get in an emergency situation, you're having to use your VHF radio, especially offshore. And if you're in the, you know, get your LED lights on, you might want to turn those off just into, you know, just long enough to get somebody on the radio and get some help coming to you. And of course, you know, don't leave your lights off. If it's dark, you want to turn them back on. But with the introduction of LED lighting now on a lot of boats, you know, they have noticed that there's, you know, it's not going to affect your radio if you only have a couple of them on your boat. But if you've got a bunch of lights that you've, that you're, you know, using during the night or whatever while you're fishing out there, and you got a bunch of lights lighting up your cabin area and your also your deck area, that may interfere with your VHF radio. So a lot of people don't realize what that can do, but you know, you just want to try to make sure that that's not going to be, you know, a problem whenever you need it in an emergency. Let's get Al on here. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Captain Vic.
Oh, hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Good to hear that you're back on the water, at least trying to get back in shape and to get prepared to get back in the working part of fishing.
Yep, it's been a little struggle, but you know, it felt good to be out there again, and you know, that's twice I've been on the water now, I think. You know, so it's, you know, it helps. So
oh yeah,
I'll tell you, being not on the water really was bad, let me tell you.
Yes, it's when you're off the water and you're used to being on the water all the time, you kind of cherish those times.
Oh yeah, yeah. You don't realize how much it is, you know, and until you don't get to do it, you know. But you got to fish sure. yesterday too, didn't you?
I did fish a little bit yesterday. Been trying to find those elusive flounder.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, they're still pretty elusive.
Yeah, we caught three yesterday, but they were small. But I mean, they were legal size, but they were small still, you know, like 15 inches or so.
But I did have something that I wanted to ask you if you ever had it happen to you.
Okay.
I was fishing for flounder. I had a line out the back of the boat that, you know, just sitting there. And then I take my small tackle rigs and I start pitching around trying to find them. But I always put out I went out the back just for something that might hit it. Well, I turned around and my rod was bending pretty good. So I went back there and set the hook on it and come up. And it was a whiting that hit a mud minnow.
Oh, wow. He was hungry then, huh?
Have you ever had that happen, that a whiting hit a mud minnow?
I have not, but I've heard they have. I've heard people say they've caught them on a mud minnow before. I mean, it's not something that you regularly do. Now, when we were bull redfish fishing one day under the Danes Point Bridge, I had a big old chunk of ladyfish out. We kept having something nibbling on it so bad. And I'd go back there and raise the rod up, you know, see if he was on there. He wasn't on there, just nibbling it. Of course, there's a pretty big chunk of ladyfish, and it was on a 5-aught Kale hook. And finally, the rod, I mean, he must have been chewing on that thing a good 10 minutes. And finally, you know, I'm just thinking I'm leaving it there, thinking it's got a good chum line, you know, chum scent going out. So maybe a red will come up and take it away from whatever it was. I thought it might have been a little catfish or something. When the rod bent over, you know, I went ahead and pulled it up, and it was a 21-inch whiting. I have not seen a whiting that big in probably 20 years. I mean, literally, a 21-inch whiting. It's just unbelievable.
And they fight hard.
Yeah, and he was, and like I said, I had a 5-aught Kale hook. I mean, he was big enough to have that 5-aught Kale hook in his mouth and a big old chunk of ladyfish.
Have you heard anything about croaker yet?
Yeah, I've heard they're still small. Still small. But, you know, I mean, usually down, my dad and I used to go down south of the Shands Bridge. There's a place, there's a little ledge down there about 1,000 feet south of the Shands Bridge. We used to go down there and catch them in August. And then you'd go up there around, you know, Marker 18 around Doctor's Lake, catch them up there. And, you know, and then they would come on up. You get them, you know, downtown. Used to get them behind Nemours Children's Hospital there at 95. And then at Trout River and, you know, Danes Point as they move out toward the ocean.
Right.
I'm beginning to wonder, since I haven't heard a lot about shrimp yet either. You know, usually by now we're hearing about, you know, real nice shrimp catches. People are telling me the shrimp are small. I don't know if it's all this fresh water, this rain we've had south of us may have flushed the shrimp out already, or most of the shrimp. And I'm worried that the croakers. Yeah, so I'm worried the croakers aren't going to be very big. If, you know, if the shrimp's gone, they're not going to be feeding like they usually do.
Oh, you're right about that. The shrimp, they contribute a lot of the weight of a lot of fish around here.
Oh, yeah, they do. And also when those shrimp come through Mill Cove, you know, you see them birds diving. That's usually, you know, when the shrimp's in there like that, of course, there's ladyfish and jacks also. But a lot of times it'll be speckled trout.
Yes, yesterday it was kind of slow, and I was always keep my eyes open, you know, on the horizon of the river. I seen all these birds and splashes. I could see splashes for, it looked like 400 or 500 yards away. I mean,
yeah.
And so I said, well, you know, of course I'm going to go there and throw something on it, you know. And you're right, some of the biggest ladyfish that you ever want to hook on to.
Yeah, and they'll take a plug away from you if you ain't careful.
Yeah, poor man's tarpon.
Yeah,
poor man's tarpon.
Now they're fun. I mean, they're a blast to catch.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like those. We was talking yesterday, a friend of mine that I went fishing with, and all we were talking about how the jacks are so fun to me. I mean, I love throwing topwater on jacks. You know, because a jack's just going to chase that topwater till it gets it. A lot of times, you know. If we get in there, especially some like 5 to 10 pound jacks, 5 to 8 pounds, something like that, you throw a topwater out there, and I try to pull it away from them, work it so fast just to watch them splash at it, you know, a number of times before they grab it. You know, it's just a blast to catch fish like that. And
well, topwater will attract just about any predator fish.
Yeah,
and your listeners might want to. Pay attention to how the fish hit that topwater, because this time of year, for some reason, you get a lot of short strikes.
Yeah.
And they're just not on a feed, or they just curious, or they just got so much mullet in them, they just don't want to take it. That's when I lay down that topwater and go to a subsurface twitch bait. And it's all the difference in the world. They'll hit that twitch bait a lot quicker than they will that topwater. I mean, I'm sure some people will disagree with that, but in my experience, if they start short striking you on a topwater, go to a twitch bait or some something subsurface, and you'll be surprised what kind of results you get.
You know, when they first come out with the she dogs, you know. Which are louder than your, like your top dogs and stuff like that. They're louder, you know, rattles in them and all. But when they first started coming out with those, I thought, man, that's a good lure. You know, started using them and had a lot of short strikes on that. But, I don't know, Al, you hear music coming up. I want to kind of continue the story and ask you a couple other things. Can I put you on hold through the break, or are you fishing?
Yeah, sure.
Are you fishing?
No, I'm home today. I got Grand Youngins, football.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll do that. I'll put you on hold. But I want to talk about that short strike, because I used to take customers and I'd hand them a rod, and I would throw that she-dog out because we were getting like a bunch of short strikes one particular day. And then I did this for several weeks at a time. But I'll talk about that when we come back. And I'm going to put you on hold, Al, and I'll be right back with you.
Sure.
222-8255. Give us a call if you like, and I'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
The soothing sounds of the carefree life of coastal birds. You too can have a worry-free life by letting Frontline Insurance navigate your path to stress-free home ownership. At Frontline, we've been there for Floridians when the seas were more than a little choppy. Nearly 90% of Frontline's policyholders were paid within 3 weeks of having the damage to their home inspected after Hurricane Irma. Let Frontline Insurance be your lifeline to security and peace of mind. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning. Got Al on the phone here. Talking about those short strikes, Al?
Yes, sir.
It was kind of funny because I had heard of somebody doing this. I don't know where I heard from it, but anyway, about how, you know, when the fish short strike, you throw something behind that topwater lure and get them. So anyway, when we were having it, I had two guys on board that day, and, you know, I had them working the topwater lures, and they were working them right and everything, and they kept coming up and boil right behind it. And so I got eighth-ounce jigs and put plastics on them, the same color as the lure, and then I would throw that topwater lure and have those guys be ready, and whenever we would, you know, I would work that lure, and you see that boil behind it, I'd get them to throw it about 3 to 4 feet behind that lure and just kind of slowly, you know, with that eighth-ounce jig, it would just barely go down. I mean, you know, barely, it wouldn't sink so fast like a quarter-ounce, and they'd pop it, and man, we were catching trout like crazy. It was just amazing how that worked so good. And
well, the thing about
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The thing about game fish, they're gonna follow something that, you know, they're gonna check it out.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna come in behind it, and if they're not feeding, they're still gonna, you know, investigate. They're curious, just like any other game animal. And that's why it seems as though when they're not biting like that, you get a lot of hits just as you're coming up to the boat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, they'll strike right there at the boat.
Oh, yeah.
That's because they're following it up. And then when you start to lift that rod and pull that bait out of the water, it shows them a little more action right there, and they go after it, that last part of it. And when I see fish short striking like that, I slow down my retrieve and it almost come to a stop.
Yeah.
Trout are famous for hitting at when the lure or your bait is just standing still.
Yeah.
And or floating or even dropping or rising depending on what lure you're using. But it's just so important to recognize how their pattern of feeding is, what's going on. You know, sometimes you can throw a beer top out there and they're going to hit it. Sometimes you can throw the most lively bait and they're still not going to hit it. But when you do start showing those short strikes come up, I usually either slow up a lot or change lures to something that, you know, they could see, easily see, and grab a hold of. A lot of times when if we're throwing twitch baits, you'll feel that the lure just stop. It won't be a strike of any kind. You'll feel that lure just stop.
Yeah.
And that's when he's on.
Well, and also the like yesterday, we would take those live mullet, and we're actually putting them on the bottom. And you'd set it on the bottom, and it would sit there. But when you take and just raise it up a little bit, you know, like scoot it a little bit closer to the boat, those trout would hit it. And mm-hmm. It was, you know, even having like a 2-ounce sinker on there to hold it on the bottom like that, just to move that mullet and kind of raise him up a little bit, that's when they would hit it. And they wasn't hitting him hard. They were just, you know, like kind of, you could definitely tell the difference. I mean, we had several redfish that broke us off you know, but they were huge redfish. But we were in a little bit deeper water too. So you know, we were in about 22, 23 feet of water. And the thing about it is that those trout were that deep down there on the bottom, you know. And there were some nice speckled trout.
Well, everything's starting to crank back up. You know, you can feel kind of the season starting to change a little bit.
Yep.
And we're going to start getting those northeasters, and I think things are going to pick up good.
I do too. I always like September as being the changing month, because usually, you know, toward the middle to the end of September, the sheep heads start, you know, biting pretty good. And of course I can't wait on that, but, you know, just want to remind everyone.
You'll see me out there. You'll see me out there in Charlie for sheep head. We love catching them sheep head on light tackle.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. But, you know, just don't forget that they went down to 8 per person now. You know, that started July the 1st, so.
I'm good with that. I mean.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
I don't want to clean that meat.
Yeah, really. Especially sheephead, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, Vic, enjoyed talking with you, and glad to, you know, hear and see that you're getting along better and back on the right track. And I think God's blessed you. A good recovery, and
I do too.
We'll let you go.
I do too, and I was really lucky the way it happened, actually. So, you know, I wasn't on the water, and you know, I was able to have rescue come get me right quick, and so it was really good. So I appreciate that, Al.
You're welcome, buddy.
And I appreciate your call, man, and talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
All right. Yeah, that was kind of amazing how those fish. I mean, every time I worked that topwater lure, and then throw that jig head behind it. When we'd see a big boil behind it or something, or You know, sometimes they would splash behind it, but they just would not grab that lure. Even using it slow, that particular, you know, time of the year. But you'd see that movement behind there and throw that jig head back there with that plastic on it, and they would nail it. And I guess it was just, you know, they come up to the surface, turn back down. But if you could get that jig head right back there, it took a little bit of practice for the guys to do it. But, you know, once they got in the knack of throwing it right behind that topwater lure like that, those trout nailed it. And, I mean, it was they're already up there looking for something, and then something else drops in there in front of them. They just grabbed it. It was pretty fun. So, and very, you know, very successful in working it that way too. And I've done that off and on, you know, through the years. So, I hadn't been topwater fishing now in a while, so I can't wait to get back out there and throw those topwater plugs. That's just something I love to do. But, excuse me. Also, kind of looking through that fishing connection paper that Joe and Rick Hale puts out, I noticed that Captain Jim Seward said that they've got quite a bit of stuff going on, you know, at the different boat ramps. And they still have not, of course, started on Joe Carlucci yet. But they're talking about how the ramp request for proposals are working, and they hope to have a contractor to move on it forward soon. So hopefully we'll see that ramp get back open pretty quick once they get started on it. They've been working on the dock at Jim King, and for the people who's been out there looking at that or using that ramp, they're moving that north dock out further so that it won't lean at low tide like it does. It's set on the bottom and leans so bad. So once they get through with that, they're coming along pretty good with it. They straightened out the dog leg in the south dock and put new pilings in there. And so that's going to be, you know, it's a straighter dock, and they don't have that little V-shape platform in there anymore where the dock turned. And, you know, so that's going to be a little bit better in there. And I'm glad that they've opened that whole dock, because they had half of that dock or three quarters of that dock blocked too during the same construction period. But now they've got that whole south dock open at Jim King. So I don't know when the proposed date of having the north dock completed moved out like that, but I noticed they got the pilings in, they got the dock moved out. They're going to have to do something about getting a ramp down onto that dock, because it's out so far now that may not be able to use the existing ramp. So they've still got that ramp there. They haven't hauled it off. So I think that they're going to either pour some concrete out there, make that that's fixed dock a little longer, or they're going to have to put a floating dock there or something, put that ramp there to it. So anyway, as the construction goes on, we'll see what happens there, and it's all going to be better, you know, for the good, because once they get that thing finished like that, you won't have to worry about the shallow water that dock either. 222-8255 is the number. Give me a call, and I'll be back after this.